brother, if Brother Rutledge, if you don't mind, I am going to get rid of the mic stand.
Do it.
Because I can't stand here when I get to talking about God long enough to be in front of the mic.
That's all right. So
everybody else can hear, because the prophet said it's like a fire shut up in my bones. And I don't believe that you can talk about God and not move. I just really do not. Amen. It's good to be here. It was a long trip, but I don't believe we're too tired to drink from the, or to eat from the Lord's table. Amen. Amen. If you'll stand with me tonight and turn in your Bible, it's going to be kind of lengthy reading, but I won't make you stand for all of it. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we'll start with the first verse, and everybody get it, say amen.
Amen.
Ezekiel 37 and verse 1. And the scripture of the Lord says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." And that right there should tell you something special is fixing to happen.
Right? Yeah.
Because the Lord has His hand in it. "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Again He said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of God, Lord God, unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to continue reading eight more verses. And we'll get started tonight. It says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you.
Hallelujah.
And ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land.
Hallelujah.
Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it."
Hallelujah.
"And performed it, saith the Lord."
Amen.
And one more scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And if I could title this sermon tonight, it would be "Walking in Dead Men's Bones." Amen. See, what God had done here in Ezekiel, and brothers, like you said, everywhere y'all looked in the Bible, everywhere you turned, you found Jesus. And it strikes me as funny as how so many religions can claim to read the Bible and the whole Bible and miss the infilling of the Holy Ghost completely. Because what God was doing, and you'll find it in many places in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God was showing and laying the foundation of what was to come later on in the book. See, up to this time, all men knew as far as sin and getting forgiveness was going to the priest and sacrificing the lamb, and it rolled their sins back 1 year. But what God was telling Ezekiel here was that there's going to be something that's going to go a little further than the lamb. See, I don't know. I believe Ezekiel knew what was going on. But right here, God's sharing something with Ezekiel that's going to save the entire New Testament later on. He said, and it was filled. The valley was full of bones, and they were dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Right. Now see, the Bible is set up. He said, the road is narrow, and few there be that find it. Right. Now if there's not but one way into the kingdom of heaven, that means we've all got to enter the same way. And it doesn't matter, brother, if you're Baptist, if you're Catholic, when God reveals the oneness, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the salvation, and you get baptized in Jesus' name, which I'll be getting on that in just a minute. But when you get the Holy Ghost, amen, then you become God's church. You're not Baptist. You're not Catholic. You're not apostolic. You are Jesus' name. That's what you are. Amen. Son of man, can these bones live? And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Ain't that the same as saying, the lost, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I hear John, the voice of one crying out from the wilderness, saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but there comes one that'll baptize you with fire. My, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You're not born with the Holy Ghost. You're born a sinner. You're born in the world. You're bone with dead men's bones. My, the Scripture says in Acts 2:38, it says, and Peter said unto them, repent, and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name. Brother, in the name. It didn't say names. It didn't say the title of. It said the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive. It didn't say you might. It didn't say you should. It said ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now see, it goes in a little further, on down a little bit, what God was showing Ezekiel. He said, I will lay sinew upon you. You can have bone, but bone don't move without sinew and muscle. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Why is it the wind is found in Ezekiel, and it's found in the second chapter of Acts? Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And suddenly there came a sound as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. My, and it appeared unto them as cloven tongues of fire. Oh my God, it wasn't the bone. It wasn't got them to heaven. It wasn't the sinew that got them to heaven, Brother Rutherford. It's okay. It wasn't the muscle, the skin. You know what it was? It was the breath of God. It was the Spirit of God. They weren't saved until it filled all the house. They wasn't saved with the repenting. They wasn't saved with knowing they had messed up in their life and come to God for forgiveness. Oh, baptism is a wonderful thing. I had a man argue with me. Baptized in the names. Nope. Baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I said, that's fine. But that says it singular. It don't have an S on it. It says N-A-M-E, the name of the Father. The name of the Son. And the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, Sister Givens, the other night in church, we brought out the fact that when the Pharisees were asked Jesus about Him, He says, with Abraham I was. Before Abraham I am. And asked Him, how could you know Abraham? Being born now, I can tell you how. He said, lo, I will be with you always, for I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the one that called Abraham friend. He was the one that told Moses to smite the rock. He was the one that said, go tell Pharaoh, we your stuttering problem, I am sent you. The name. There's power in the name. Because without the name, there is nothing.
Thank you, Lord.
You don't bury people with a handful of dirt. When you bury people, you cover the whole grave. You don't sprinkle when you baptize. You put them under the water. But let me tell you something, brother. It's like you said. The name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is a good place to start. But tell me the rest of it. What's the rest of His name? Because if you don't say Jesus when you were baptized, you took a bath.
Yes.
You know what the difference is between getting in your shower tonight and when you got baptized in Jesus' name? Tonight, you washing the dirt off your body. Then, you was washing the dirt off your soul. That's the difference. Because the Jesus name is what's going to carry you from here to there. Oh, the mighty. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. When we was little, we sang a song about that God just took Ezekiel and raised up an army, and that was a miracle because they were dead. No, because later on it says, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my Spirit in you. See, up to that time, His Spirit was with man, but it wasn't in man. It didn't say, I shall put my Spirit with you. It says, I shall put my Spirit in you. Would somebody be so kind as to get me some water? Thank you, Jesus. I am the Lord when I know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. Let me tell you something. I don't know how it is everywhere else, but there's a lot of churches down around home that if you shake the minister's hand and you tell God you're sorry, you're going to heaven. But you know what? That's what Matthew was talking about. The sepulchres filled with dead men's bones. You can look good. You can act good. You can act like you've been in church all your life. And you may have. But until His Spirit is in you, you are still full of dead men's bones. My. I don't want to know what kind of church you come out of. I want to know what you believe. It ain't the name on the building that's getting you anywhere. Apostolic ain't getting you to heaven. Pentecostal ain't getting you to heaven. UPC ain't getting you to heaven. Baptist, Catholic, Episcopalian, it ain't getting you to heaven. It's the one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost filled. That's what's getting you to heaven. Amen.
My brother, it stirs down deep and it bubbleth over. Don't tell me your cup bubbleth over or runneth over unless you got the Holy Ghost.
My, but see, Ezekiel, this, what I read is talking about two things, and I had to put two sermons into one, Brother Rutledge. It was talking about the direction, the guidelines, the map of getting the Holy Ghost, the repenting, the sinew on the bones. Before the bones got sinew, they had to be prophesied on. Sinew and muscle, that's the first step of your skeleton. Every man is born with a skeleton. No man is born with salvation. My dead men are bones. Repent. Repent. And you begin to get sinew and muscles on your arms, but you still ain't moving. You get baptized in Jesus' name and you got skin over those muscles and sinews and bones. And that's fine. You've got to have skin to protect the rest of you. But you're still not alive. Prophesy. Prophesy. See, that's why I know he was talking about Acts right here. Because he said, prophesy unto the wind. Because when the wind entered in, it said, so I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them. Didn't say came upon them. It came into them. It gave them life. It gave the dead bones life. And they lived and stood upon their feet. An exceeding great army. It's funny how bone can't get it there. How man can't find a way to get it there, Brother Arthur. But I can tell you what man can do. Man can go to the hard part of reading, brother. You're talking about, well, it was a bad place to read that day. You know why it was a bad place? Because it was bad for the worldly side of them. But it was a good thing for those dry, dusty bones. You know why it was a bad place? Because the devil didn't like what was going on. The man in the tombs was a dry, dead, dusty bone. But when Jesus come walking through, the devils couldn't stop him. The chains couldn't stop him. The villagers couldn't stop him. And when he got down there, he said, Jesus. He said, Jesus. He didn't say Reverend. He didn't say Bishop. He didn't say Brother Junior. He said, Jesus. And it's that name above all others. It's that name. Dry, dusty bone. It's everything that will ever be worthy. Dry, dusty bones is everything that is not spiritual. See, the Bible is drawn in a fine line between spiritual and living fleshly. Living fleshly meaning living in the world. That's why I'm talking about dry bones and bones that have the blood of Christ applied. Because you see, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Don't tell me I don't live for God because I don't want to. It ain't your choice. You want to get down to it. It ain't your choice because the Scripture says, for ye are bought with a price. You were bought with that name Jesus. And the blood that ran down Calvary. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God.
Thank you, brother.
My bought with a great price. I don't know about y'all, but I know this man right here knows what it's like to have to have God. See, because when we went to the Dominican Republic, I learned something I don't think I learned anywhere else, brother. Them people would come and they'd hang in the church windows and they'd crowd in till there wasn't nowhere else. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, see how they worship me. And it pricked my heart. And I felt like Paul on the road called straight because
We worship God because we love Him. Because it's tradition. Because we've done it all our lives. We don't think we don't love Him. We think we love Him.
Yeah.
See, you want to know, 100 years ago, and Brother Rutledge, you remember this because of your parents telling you about it. We used to have tent revivals. We used to have healings. We used to have them come from the back. Used to be my wife. Used to get drunk every Saturday, every Friday. I used to be terrible, but my wife tricked me into coming to church. And I'm not never going to leave like I came in because these bones are walking. That's the difference between God and everything else. We used to have tent revivals. You know what happened, Brother Rutledge? What happened was then we needed God. Then we had to have God to survive. These people in other countries, we're blessed. God give us good churches. Give us plenty to eat. Give us something good. We don't have to fight to come to church. We don't have to worry about watching our babies get killed when these people over here will do it in secrecy. We'll hide. I remember when Peter got out of jail. And he went to Mary's house where they were praying. And Rhoda couldn't believe her eyes. Them people was praying in secrecy. People pray in secrecy. And God pricked my heart about it. Because them people had to have God for tomorrow. And for right now. We only need God when we need Him. They love Him. They get before the pulpit. And the little kids dance like David danced. They get on their face and they don't get up till they get what they need from God. We have a bad problem of coming to church and not wanting anything. Don't ever come to church not expecting something from God. Because let me tell you something. If you ever seen a piece of leather, bone, it can be fresh. But if you leave it out in the weather, and you leave it out in the weather, and you leave it out in the weather, it gets weak, it gets brittle, and it ain't long before there's no moisture to be found. And you're laying in a dead, dry valley, and you can do it on the pew. That's what Matthew was talking about when he said the sepulchres filled with dead men's bones. Brothers, it's okay. Y'all have a wonderful pastor. Wonderful. Because He tells you the truth. It's not that He's hard, it's He loves you. See, that man has to make an account daily for your souls. He's got to make sure your bones don't die. My. Dead men's bones. Dead men's bones. It haunts me. It worries me. I go to sleep and I dream about it. All those standing on the other side of the line. We got the Holy Ghost, but there's so few. There's a lot, but there's few compared to everybody in the world. See, that's what God was telling Ezekiel. There's something that's going to matter more than a goat sacrifice or a lamb sacrifice. I'm going to give you something that carries you to work Monday when they were mean to you Sunday. I'm going to give you something when the doctors say you got cancer. And you go back to take radiation and chemo, and they tell you, you don't need it. See, because dead men's bones is earthly. Because what is bones made out of? Bones made out of earth. And He said, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones get up and shout down the aisle? Can these bones lift up their arms and receive in church? Can these bones come from a miry clay to be set on the solid rock to stand? You ought to rejoice and be exceedingly glad because once upon a time you were dry. Too often we forget what it was like. The Scripture says not to look back, but it's wise not to forget.
Because if the stove's hot, we learn little. If the fire's hot, you pull your hand back. If the fire's hot, you preserve your soul. Teach them up in the way that they should go. Brother, you know what? I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been in church, I've been out of church. And I don't believe once your bones have walked that you will ever be the same again. Because when I tried to forget, God came to me in my sleep. When I closed my eyes, the first thing I thought about was the altar. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and know God was in my room. Knew God, scared for my soul. You know why? Once the bones are raised, the bones don't want to go back. Rebellion wants to take you back. The demons want to take you back. But see, the Scripture says not to fear the one that can take the life, but the one that can take the soul. The only one that can take the soul at any given time for any reason is the one that created the soul. My sepulchres filled with dead men's bones. Lord, I drive by churches on the way to church Sunday morning and I think about the sepulchres filled with dry men's bones. What's a sepulcher? A tomb. And a church without the truth. Teaching a false doctrine, believing a lie and be damned, is a sepulcher filled with dead men's bones. It's not the concrete. Because see, the temple changed. See, the temple went from the temple in Moses' time to the temple sitting there on the seats. But because he said, know ye not that your bodies are not your own. Ye are the temple of the Lord. And does that not mean that when you leave God, you're sinning against the church? Dead men's bones. I talk to those who they say backslid. I don't believe that. Because I don't believe their bones ever walked if they left it and stayed gone. Because I cannot fathom in my head how any man can taste of the Lord and see that He is good. Get the Holy Ghost. Who has got the Holy Ghost and wants to go back to what you were?
Right.
Who wants to go from the living to the dead? Right. Even Pinocchio was happy he was a boy and no longer would because he felt. Yeah. And he believed. Yeah. Why is it cartoon characters got more sense than we do sitting on a pew? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I love Trinitarians. I love them. Because they'll tie themselves up if you give them a chance. Brother, you hit on a note. See, too many of us, oh no, you are wrong. Don't know, that's the wrong way. Because you just lost your witness and it remains dry bones. But brother, you said, just a chance. Get my foot in the doorway. The devil take a mile. I'll take 3 miles. Just give me a chance. Because you see, something happens to mortal man when they hear the name Jesus and they're told the truth. Because man was created for what purpose? You will never, ever get away from the reason of your being. Every man, I believe, comes by God at least once in their lifetime. And almost every one of them on their deathbed can tell you who it was, when it was, what time it was, and what they wish they'd have done different.
Glory.
My Ezekiel. Oh, Ezekiel, what Ezekiel felt when the bones begin to clatter. That's a minister's job to tell of the sinew and the skin and the breath that enters the body. And it's a minister's job to hear the bones clack. Because when the bones start clacking, something's happening. When the bones start clacking, cancer got to go. What cancer? It's flesh. Tuberculosis got to go. Had a lady tell me one time, God can't And I said, why ain't? She said, what do you mean? I said, why won't he? She said, well, he won't for me. I said, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11 and 1. Yet the evidence of things unseen. You know what, Brother Rutledge? You know how I know the bones clack? Because my bones got up. Because when I started getting told about it, the arm bone wiggled. When I first heard Jesus, my spine turned over. Ain't you ever heard of somebody rolling over in their grave? This is what happened. My. Ooh, it just makes me want to shout, Brother Rutledge, when I think about the great army.
Yes, sir.
It was Israel. The great army. Getting up. A great army. Risen by God.
Yes.
If you rose by God, you rose the right way.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Because when you rose by God, which is the only way that you're going to get risen.
Right.
The only way it's been tried to be bought. You know what? I love it. What the prophet said in the gates. Or the apostles, when they walked by, and he said, silver and gold have I none. I can't take a shovel and bury those bones, but I can make them walk again. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. Now arise in Jesus' name. There comes a point in your life, you got to take up your bed and walk. Oh, we play with God. We play with God too much. It's like I said a while ago, the difference between us and other countries. Now, we're Americans and we're proud and we don't like to be told we don't do it good enough.
Come on.
We don't love God hard enough. Some do here and there. Some do. Some knows what it was like to have to scratch and beg God. How many mothers do we have in here? You know what it was like when your babies were sick? How many wives do we have? You know what it was like when your husbands were sick? You knew what it was like when the money didn't go far enough. You knew what it was like when you had the choice to pay your tithes or buy your groceries. We've all been there. My decisions. Decisions, big and small. They're all decisions. Are the bones going to rattle or are they just going to stir dust? I don't want to be caught stirring dust. See, I want my bones to be shouting at the gates. I don't want God to have to open the grave and come find where I went. Because you know what's funny? It said, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. You know what he said? I will make the old man die. And I will cause the new man to be born. Because when the new man is born, well, I don't know about up here. Brother Rutledge, you've heard the song. We sing a song, Brother Merle sings it in his church. Talking about he went home and his little boy went and ran by, hid behind the door. And he said, son, have no fear. You've got a new daddy. I'm not the man I used to be. Because you see, this is where, right here, the bridge goes between infilling of the Holy Ghost and faking the Holy Ghost. Now see, we don't like to talk about that. Brother, is this okay? We don't like to talk about faking the Holy Ghost because there's too many guilty. It says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Don't nobody like the pot to be called black. Don't nobody want to be called just like it is. Well, brother, you just stomp my toes off. Good, you felt something. For ye are like whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. Oh, I got money. But it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. You know why? You know what the difference is? What I said a while ago, the difference is between a man that needs it and a man that thinks he got it all. A man that thinks he has it all wants God on his time. A man that needs God wants God any time he can have God. That's the difference. Which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones. I don't care how good you raise your hands on Sunday. I don't care how good you fake speaking in tongues. See, there's a real speaking in tongues. But if God's got a genuine, the devil's got a good fake. Now see, that's what you was talking about. That's what I thought about when you said Trinity and oneness. See, God had the truth laid out in oneness. Because besides me, there is no other. And if he's jealous, he can't have three running around. How many men we got in here? How many jealous men we got in here of their wives? How many men want other men taking care of their jobs while they're going to work? You don't. God's going to do it himself, and his name's Jesus. He didn't need no help then. He don't need no help now. He don't need no help from you. And he don't need no other help from no other fake God. He's quite capable of stirring them bones because he made them himself. Because you see, when he made Adam, he formed these bones just like he wanted it. And Adam was made out of mud. Well, clay, brother. When he breathed in him, he breathed in Adam. Adam got life. He breathed, Ezekiel prophesied into the dry bones, and they got life. The apostles were all together in one accord in the upper room, and they got life. Got life. My sepulchres. Oh, Brother Rulla, it just stirs me. It stirs me to know there's those that sit on the pew and cover it up. See, you can cover it up for me. And you can cover it up from your brother and your sister. But you will never cover it up from the one who stirs your bones. You will never stir completely over. Because the Bible says nothing is done in secrecy. And that it would be shouted from the roof. He shouted from the roof. Because you cannot run. You cannot hide. You cannot rebel against. You cannot rebuke. And you cannot fight God. And sometimes that is the hardest thing for mortal man to figure out. Is you can't buck God. See, if you buck your employer, he'll fire you. If daddy bucked mama, he'd be divorced. But man will sit there and tell God, no, sir. Man, you know I'm telling the truth. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteousness unto men. I shine my shoes pretty. I shave real nice. I drive the nicest car. I live for God. I've been blessed. I'm black as sin on the inside. But I raise my hands. I shout when I feel like shouting. I want to holler when I want to holler. See, man don't get it in the heads the right way the first time. You don't do it when you want it. You do it when the Spirit of God comes upon you. See, the eunuch was taken away by the Spirit of God. He didn't leave before God got there. He didn't leave after God left. He left with. It's like you shout when the Spirit of God is upon you. And you know when it's tongues the right way. You know it because it'll bear witness. Bear witness. Oh, wait. No, you wait. Because I'm trying to tell you something that's going to send your soul to hell if you don't listen to me. Because faking it makes your bones brittle. Not praying through when you need to pray through brittles your bones. and say, I don't care what you got to tell me.
Yeah.
Because unless you got the Holy Ghost, I'm happy. You're not happy. Because God is love. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. For I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But you got to have God. See, you don't get good to get God. Because if you get good to get God, you didn't really get God. Because that's not the way God operates. God's not conditional. He's no respecter of persons. He's not going to take one differently than He would you. This is the truth. He's not going to be a respecter of person. That means He'll take the beggar on the street fast as He will the president of a large supermarket or chain store. He'll take little Abner that has scratched on the streets all his life, don't know nothing but me, but heard somebody preach about Jesus one time through a wall by a church. He was looking for a can or something he might could sell. As fast as he'll take President Bush. Just as fast. Because it all falls back on the necessity of Christ. See, Ezekiel desired God, loved God, needed God. You know why the people? Oh, the Scripture says, we can have it just like they had it.
Right.
My shadow ain't never healed nobody. My shadow ain't never filled nobody with the Holy Ghost. But I stop and wonder, am I loving God like they love God? Because you see, in the Old Testament, they loved God because God provided. God was their source of income. God was their source of making it. In the New Testament, God was their source of keeping them alive and preserved. See, the congregation, our church, accuses me of hopping from cover to cover in the Bible. But there's so many things, Brother Rutledge, that all ties in to one another. Because you see, Peter kept getting brittle bones. He denied God how many times? God, I won't, but God, I did. But he cried right after. Said he wept and fell on his face. He repented. Peter. Oh, good old Peter. Peter that died. How Peter died. See, that's significant that a lot of people miss. Peter didn't feel worthy to be crucified like Christ. So they crucified him upside down. But even that has its own sermon, Brother Rutledge, because in the end, Peter died with his heart over his mind. In the end, Peter had it right. In the end, Peter knew what it was like to love God, die for God, need God. I woke up this morning because God shook my shoulder. He made those bones. He'll touch those bones. God won't heal me. You've got to have faith. God made it. God created it. God will take it away. Come unto me, my yoke is easy. And I don't want you to know what the Scripture said. It said, come unto me, and my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now how can you taste, Brother Arthur, and see that He is good if He's not good? Now, if God is never a liar, then that also means when He said, shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. That means what makes you get up out your pew. What makes your cup bubbleth over. When you're driving down the road or you're at work and you hear somebody say, Jesus, and you turn around and you say, what? Because you hear Jesus, what happens? You click back to church. You click back to the Holy Ghost. You click back to the things of God. So a man thinketh in his heart. So he is. See, the tongue is hard to bridle on a man unless he is full of God.
Because then that tongue's going to speak of the things of God and concerning God and the love of God. You ain't never met a one God apostolic tongue talking filled to the brim that was mean to you. Don't work that way. Because if you have God, you have love. You ain't going to meet somebody with the Holy Ghost that's mean. You're not going to do it. Because God's not mean. My brother Rutledge, does that mean that it don't matter what I've done in my life, that these old bones can be stirred? Does that mean that it don't matter how many times I've been in church and out of church, hot, cold, lukewarm, that these bones can still feel the flames of the fire? Camp meeting. Sister Givens, I know what I was going to drag us in there. Camp meetings are circled around a campfire. Without a campfire, you got a cold, dry, lonely camp. You got Vacation Bible School. South Arkansas version. But when you begin to mix a little tinder on the fire, when you begin to heed to something you heard the minister say, when God begins to prick your heart. See, Paul didn't have a whole lot to say when God knocked on his door. Because it was God. Paul fought. Paul killed. Paul was there when Stephen was stoned. But when God knocked on Paul's door, Paul went where? Who'd he go to? Ananias. He went to Ananias. And what happened? It's funny what he fought so hard against, he became a part of. The dry bones that tripped up the live bones became walking bones itself. Because you don't touch no part of God, good or bad, what it don't get a hold of you. How many of you run from God and run right into God? I got a little cartoon at the house. It shows Jonah the first time he got in trouble. And the goldfish jumps out the bowl and swallows his finger. See, the Scripture says the steps of a what? Good man are ordered by the Lord. So that means in sense that we are predestined. That means if you let your bones get brittle and dry, Brother Rutledge, if you get off the path that was predestined, might we miss somebody that we could have been talking to? My, the porkers. When I hear... I went to a funeral one time. The man was cremated and put in a vase, his ashes. A sepulcher filled with dead men's bones. See, that's what I was talking about. I'm not going to the altar till God drags me to the altar. And how many was there? And then repented for the next 6 months because you said that. I ain't going down there. Them people's crazy. You know what? They seen something different about you. Well, they wouldn't say they was crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
They seen something. Let me tell you something. You get around somebody with the Holy Ghost, it's contagious.
Yes.
It's like a bad disease. It's like when one person gets the flu, the whole church gets the flu. When one person with the Holy Ghost goes into the darkness, it's like a light set up on a hill that cannot be hid. It becomes contagious. You know what, brother? You sat in front of the court and you told them Jesus' name. They may not succumb to it, but the rest of their life, they'll remember one who was different. Not everybody that heard the Word of God was saved, but they remembered One who came and preached of a better way, a better life. Something that's going to help me tomorrow and the next day. That when I'm facing death's door, I don't worry, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and it's dead.
Some men's sins go into heaven before them. Some men's sins go to heaven, follow after. Some men repented and got washed in the blood. See, that's why it couldn't be bought, because it was paid for. See, the blood's a precious item. The blood that run from the stripes gives you your healing. The blood that ran down the cross gives you your salvation. The blood is what? Now see, the blood is Jesus, is it not? See, I brought this up in our congregation the other morning. Now, John said, in the beginning, the Word was what? With God. Was God. Now, if the Word was God and God is Jesus, then that means this Word is the blood. That's why they couldn't destroy it. That's why man will never destroy it, because it's God. The Romans couldn't take it. The other races fighting it couldn't take it. And they'll never take it, because it's my lifeblood. It was God's lifeblood. It was the lifeblood that came upon you when the fire come off your tongue. Amen. You ought to be happy. You ought to rejoice if you ain't dead bones anymore. You ought never miss a testimony service. You ought never miss a chance to clap your hands. You ought never refuse to thank God for shaking the dust off them bones. When you get to your point in life where you got to shake the dust off them bones, you come to the point where you said, God, I'll take you on your turn. Yes. I don't care no more. I know a minister that got the Holy Ghost in a sewer pipe.
Yeah, I know it. Yep.
I know the old folks in your church pass away and they go to bury them. And what do they find on the floor by the beds? Places where their knees have wore the carpet through, or the floorboards through, where every day, every night, they went back to the blood.
Jesus.
At least they'd be like the 10 virgins. They went back day after day, night after night. Brother Rutledge, your daddy was that kind of minister. He went to the blood because the blood was his life. That's the difference in living church and faking church. You live church because that's your lifeblood. You fake church because you're dusty and dry and you've never been stirred. And I got something else to say before I give it back to you. See, a lot of people want to cross those out who come in church, leave church, come in church, leave church, come in church. That ain't your job. It's your job to pray and fast. Because let me tell you something, and I'm telling you from what God done for me. I was in, I was out, I was back in. When you have crossed that line, just because you have backslid, does not mean that you lost your lifeblood. Just because you missed a Sunday does not mean that you've lost the Holy Ghost. See, a lot of times, a lot of people, we're not having nothing to do with them. And the Holy Ghost sits out there and weans and weans and weans. A lot of times it's babies in Christ that ain't sure what to do. You can't eat by yourself till they feed you first. You can't chew your own meat till you learn how to eat the baby sauce.
Amen.
Or you'll choke. And a lot of times babies don't know to keep their eyes on God.
Yeah.
They're just new bones.
Yeah.
And they get hurt.
Yeah.
And they quit coming to church. But them bones still pump blood.
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on here? I didn't tell you to be everybody be a pastor. You got one pastor. You don't pastor your church. But you go to your pastor. You say, "Pastor, what do I do concerning this measure?" You begin to pray. And you begin to fast. Because if you love God and have the love in you, you also love one another. And this is a close-knit, tight family. This church is just like our church. You ain't just church members. You're family.
Yeah.
Blood and bone. Each and every one of you, when they asked me what I needed vacation for, I said, "I'm going to see my family."
Yeah.
It's exactly what I told them.
Because
it is my family. Because people with the Spirit of God are close-knit. I walked in stores and somebody run up to me and grabbed me. I don't know them from Adam and just talk about the infilling of the Holy Ghost and how happy they are. Because you know what? It's funny. Once dry and still, now wet and moving. You know why we shout? Because can't nobody with the Holy Ghost not shout. You know why we lift our hands? Because you can't stay still. How can you contain a wildfire with a wooden soup panel? You can't. Because I used to work in forestry. I used to work with wildfires, control burns, that kind of thing. When a fire gets loose, a fire burns. And it burns. And a lot of times there's nothing it can do but burn out. Fire trails sometimes don't stop it. Helicopters and firefighters don't stop it. Sometimes it's got to burn its course. And you get a good dose of Holy Ghost fire in your church, like what I felt, what I hear on Pow Talk.
Thank you, Lord.
You get that kind of fire. Shut up in these church doors, much less your bones. It will spread in this whole city. Revival, we talking about revival for years, Brother Rutledge. There's a church in Corinth, Mississippi that was down praying and fasting for 2 weeks. And the firefighters come knocked on the door one Sunday night. Said, "We got something real weird going on." And said, "What?" Said, "Everybody in the city can see the flames on the rooftop, but there's no smoke and nothing's burning away."
Amen.
But you know what? You know what also happened? That next Sunday at church, the pews was filled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know what? It was the same fire that Moses saw on the mount when he took his sandals off. It's the same fire that they saw in the upper room when it had appeared on their tongues. It's the same fire that makes you witness. How many people do you come in contact with every day? Fire spreads. See, fire don't care what it burns. Fire just consumes. And it comes to a point the fire is so hot, water don't touch it. I want that kind of fire. Shut up in my bones. I want that kind of fire that'll sit in front of a council when they're slandering me, telling me I ain't believing right, and look them in the eye and say, "You ought to know of the love that my Jesus has for you."
Thank you, Lord.
I want that kind of fire. I want the kind of fire that makes me get up every Sunday and carry my family to church. I want the kind of fire that when it is hard, there is no walk with God that is roses. You got mountains
and you got hilltops, and you got valleys, and you got low spots, and you got death valleys. But I will never forget, Sister Bradshaw stood up in the back and said, I've been in the bottom of the valley, and I've been to the hilltop with God. And He was the same God in the bottom of the valley as He was on the mountaintop. And I needed Him then like I needed Him now. Because I didn't wake up on my own. I woke up breathing and saying the name of Jesus. Jesus is what got me here. Jesus is what's going to take me out. Jesus is what's going to save my children. Jesus is what's going to save my lost family. And Jesus is my lifeblood. Church, stand up and give God praise. God. I keep getting off what I'm wanting to say. You can be seated if you want. But you see, I wanted to say that it don't matter if you fail once or twice. Because see, doctors heal cracked, broke bones. But when you have the great physician, it's He that holds you. It's He that puts you in the cleft of the rock. It's He that heals the wounds that you can't handle. It's Him that makes it all better. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world is for people to forgive themselves long after God has forgot about it. Forgive yourself. You know what? There comes a time when you've got to say, God, I don't care what nobody thinks. God, I don't care what nobody feels. God, I don't care what nobody has to say. Because when I get up off this chair, I'm going to go down to the altar and I'm not leaving until I feel the fire rekindled and run back up these brittle bones. That's what church is about. Getting what you got to have from God. How many of you work all week longing for Sunday? How many of you, church time is the happiest time of your week? We ought to have camp meeting every day. You ought to sing on your job every day. My. What makes you so happy? Oh, but let me tell you. The blood, Jesus, the fire, the happy, the smiles, the shouts, my Lord. What is there not good to talk about Jesus about? We can talk about everything we shouldn't talk about and have to repent in church. We can get mad and tell somebody what we think on the flesh side. When we could have said, it's okay. Because I'm going to go home and pray for you. It's okay. I'm going to invite you to church. Here's a church card. Hey, do you know what? I know you're mad at me right now, but you know what? I know a joy and a love that surpasses all others. See, because if you're not happy, sir, you must not have anything to be happy about. And if you don't have anything to be happy about, I know something that you can get happy for the rest of your life about. So you know what? Job was torn down physically, but Job was not torn down spiritually. Job kept his bones intact. He said, Lord, even though you might slay me, even though I'm scratching myself with a piece of pottery, even though I've been in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out of church. I've been to the altar, I've been to the pew. I've refused to go to the altar, and then I've ran to the altar. But tonight, I plan on getting serious, God. There comes a time when you don't play with God no more. You think Jonah was worried about playing checkers with God in the whale?
No.
That was a life and death situation. Just like every time you're at church is a life and death situation. See, the Bible says, and this is why you can have church all the time and you can pray without ceasing. See, Paul knew what he was talking about because it says where two or more were gathered together. And did I not hear somebody a while ago say, that where you and God and the angels are, it makes a crowd. You got more than two or three. You got 2 or 3 thousand. 2 or 300 million thousand. Because you know what? When my footstep falls, I want the devil to hear the angels that was there when I was praying. I want the devil to hear God and the Lion of Judah roaring beside me. That's what I want to happen. Because without God, I am nothing. Without God, I have nothing. You think you can make it without God? You get out there and try it. I've been on both sides of the fence. And I wanted to come back to God and was happy to just sit on the pew. I come back, my pastor said, you sit on the pew and you find out what love's about. You sit down on the pew and you mend and you get right with God. And you know what? I learned to love God the hard way. Because you see, I've seen miracles. I've seen healings. I've seen infilling of the Holy Ghost. But when it happens to you, it's different. You can watch somebody get the Holy Ghost and get happy, but it wasn't like when you got the Holy Ghost. Because yours is yours and God give it to you. And this is why I'm telling you, once out of the dry bones, they can be forever gone. But that don't mean they gotta be forever gone. Because I do not believe once saved, always saved. Because God does not leave man, but man leaves God. But what I can tell you is, you will never, ever be the same. Never. Because you see, when God makes those bones move, the devil cannot stop it. When you want to come to the altar, or bend at your chair, or raise your arms, or mend what is broken, the devil, he can try to whisper, but he cannot stop you. Just like he couldn't stop the man at the tombs. He could not stop him. He cannot stop you from saying, Pastor, I need baptized. And he cannot stop you from grabbing hold of the horns of that altar and praying till you hear the wind come. See, that's what's neat about the dry bones then and the dry bones now. See, Ezekiel had to prophesy to these bones for it to happen. I'm telling you right now, you can go yourself. You can go to God yourself. Them dry bones can lay on the dirt and cry, Jesus, I'm dry. Jesus, I'm lost. But there's no manner of creature under heaven or above heaven that can stop you from crying out to God and to touching the hem of the garment. Because you see, it wasn't the garment that got the lady healed. It was the obedience. It was the obedience. The obedience that says you got to repent wholeheartedly. It means that you don't say a sinner's prayer because it ain't in the Bible. It means you felt pricked at your heart, you went to the altar, you cried, you got forgiven, but it goes further than that. See, you can't stop there because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should. Now see, there is so many churches that teach us shall, but the Scripture says should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of you have ever built anything and it didn't turn out like it was supposed to? You should not perish. But it don't mean you won't. Because when you believe in God, you desire the things of God. And when you desire the things of God, you start tasting of God. When you start tasting of God, you start dabbling in God. And it ain't long before it's all over you. And when it gets all over you, it gets all in you. And it ain't long before you behind a pulpit telling somebody about what God done for you. Oh my God is a good God. I love Him. And so much, I couldn't begin right now and spend the rest of my life and never get it told. how much I love God.
Love you, Jesus.
But I can tell you there is no barrier that can stop you. There is no wall that can be presented that can keep you from God. There is no thing than yourself. Because you see, yourself is the biggest devil that you're ever going to find. Because see, once God forgives you, people, like I said, can't forgive themselves. God would hear you. What? Where was the city that God said there'd have been mighty works done and many works except for their unbelief? I don't want to have to find out again what it's like to need God. I know. Because when you need God, your relationship's different. But see, because when you're married to your wife, if you love her, you need her. You want her there all the time. If you come home and she's not there, there's an empty spot. And when your relationship becomes needful with God, when it becomes something you have got to have, or there's an empty spot, then you have made a relationship worth something with God. That's what the Scripture was talking about, growing your roots deep and growing your roots on the ground, building your relationships with God. You get tired of being dried bones, get up and do something about it.